What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. And joining us on the Skype connection right now is Alan Parks. And Alan, the reason I wanted you on the show, thank you for being here today, is the FDA just recently came on out and said there's absolutely no truth to the claim that cannabis oil has any effect on cancer whatsoever, and you, from your own personal experience, know otherwise. So can you first of all tell us a little bit about yourself, and then tell us about your experience with cancer?
Hey, Mike, thanks very much for asking. And unfortunately, at this time, I'm kind of torn between laughing my head off at this bogus claim and the fact that anybody would believe it based on the available research that's only just a few clicks away with your fingertips. And I don't know how they're getting away with it. I'm not really sure, because on the one hand, I want to laugh. But on the other hand, it is a crime, the suppression of information, etc. So I'll tell you who I am. It's actually Park with no S. That's okay. It happens all the time. I'm a noun, not a verb. And so I'm a comedian in Canada. I'd been doing that for quite some time, doing stand-up. Eventually got on a television show of some repute up here in Canada, relatively famous across the nation, and was having a fun time, I guess, kind of thing with that, being on TV and making more money than you ought to. And then eventually the show was canceled, and a couple of years later we were doing these annual specials instead of a season, and this is when I'm getting sicker and sicker all year. 2013, it turned out I was deteriorating, and I wasn't sure why. Had been visiting the doctor several times, running tests, trying to find out what was happening, and everything was turning up negative, as they say, which is good, and it means they don't have a positive ID on some culprit. And but unfortunately, I guess they were running the wrong tests. As I further deteriorated, it was a pretty quick slide. From early November down to the 20th of November, 2013, when I was there's no other option than to get to the emergency room and see what they could do for me, because things had been just falling apart so badly. At this time, I had just turned 50 in 2012, and I was popped my rib in the gym, which I thought was just an exercise accident. But it turned out that was a result of the metastases that had already onset, and I didn't know it. So it never healed properly, and so went my year with over-the-counter pain medications and every kind that you can think of. I wasn't going to be getting into fentanyl and all of these other painkillers, because I was already aware of their destruction ever since the year 2000, when they were ushered in by telling us all that they weren't going to be any kind of problem by representatives of the pharmaceutical company. So I already knew that was
of course a
no-go. And eventually, and you should see that testimony sometime, 2000, there's some doctor saying, well, we have no reason to believe this will cause any kind of addiction or any kind of problem in most people. And of course it did, and they paved the way for what's at hand right now. But I went in for the diagnosis on the 20th. I was in such brutal agony, I can't describe it. It's awful to think about it, but I only say it not for sympathy. I'm well past that PTSD stage. I say it to make it clear to people that I was so far gone. It's really incredible, especially under conventional standards, that I would be back to my life. And basically, I'm right in the pocket of time where I would be celebrating my third anniversary of my funeral that was guaranteed my way sometime between October and December 2014. So like 10 to 12 months after I was ID'd, with a rapidly deteriorating prostate cancer, aggressive advanced stage 4 that had already metastasized into much of my bones. It was guaranteed, it was irreversible. They offered me, this is the best part, okay? This is the best part. This might sound horrible when it happens to you, and there's no doubt. But in retrospect, the best gift I received was being told that I was so far gone, there's nothing they could do. They couldn't do surgery, radiation, or chemo. That's what my prostate surgeon said, that one of the best in the country, apparently, said that we can't do that. They offered me it's called an androgen therapy, and if you're not sure what that is, I'll break it down to layman's terms. This is basically a drug you take in on a monthly or tri-monthly basis, or maybe there's a bi-monthly, and it suppresses the body's ability to manufacture testosterone, and they consider testosterone to be the gasoline on the fire of what prostate cancer is. So if you're making testosterone, the prostate cancer is getting more out of control. So they like to shut that down, and I was told and promised that this was a palliative drug, and it was going to shut down the speed and the development and the intensity of the pain, and thus, quote-unquote, It will help you ease on out. When I ask this guy, you're telling me there's nothing I can do? There's no other way to get out of this whatsoever? He said, no, I'm afraid not. And at that time, I knew he was incorrect. I don't know why he was telling me this, if it was a lie or a mistake, or he just wasn't up on his research. It might have been any of those things. I didn't care, but I could tell it was wrong. And I went away with the full awareness that there was nothing to do but soon get on this testosterone suppressant and no longer manufacture. If it was a woman with breast cancer and those kinds of related to gender diseases, then she would have had to take a similar suppressant, and this is available to cut down your production of estrogen to slow down that cancer or uterine cancer. So it's a very strange science. There's lots about it that's fascinating slash also scary when it's happening to you. And I walked away from that terrible meeting in December. I was diagnosed in late November, and then 5 weeks later, I'm seeing this specialist who's telling me there's no hope, and you're done, and that's it, and you're toast. What I left out of the story was, and I'll take any question you have after this, what I left out of the story was that immediately following the diagnosis on November the 20th, I had already made the decision to procure cannabis. This seems like a million years ago in the political landscape. Colorado wasn't even wide open yet the way it is now. And I just came across the idea to get involved with medical cannabis because I knew whatever this doctor in the emergency room was going to tell me obviously wasn't going to be good. And I didn't know what it was. And so I made that promise to myself that I would do it. And I started to do it within 4 days of getting – because I had two more days of work. I had to go to work that next Thursday, the following day, and the Friday. Saturday, I was able to procure a cannabis substance. Sunday, I was able to dial up on YouTube and Google, etc. What would you do with cannabis now that you have it? I realized there was a medical thing called the Rick Simpson oil. This is another Canadian guy who dreamed this particular application of this up on his skin cancer, found great effect with it. He told a lot of people about it and made it for them and gave it to them and remedied a lot of their cancers. And consequently, I don't know the saga. I'd love to talk to him, but he was he had to find his way out of Canada, now lives in Croatia or something. Because, you know, that's what happens when you don't charge anybody for a miracle cure. They want your ass out of here. So I guess that's what happened to him. I found out about it. I got, as they say, a little bit nervous and afraid to do it because it involves boiling volatile liquids, in this case, isopropyl alcohol, 99%. I was a little nervous of this. I don't have a chemistry background, but I proceeded to reread everything, watch some more videos, find the strength to do it, and once again, just hammer this stuff into me, because why not? You know, I was in such a terrible shape when the emergency guy told me I'm stage four. So I made it finally on the Monday. I took some of it Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. When I say some, I mean the size of the head of a pin. This is a very concentrated oil. You have to use it properly. But with three pinheads of oil taken into my body over the course of 75 or 80 hours, I was able to drop all of my over-the-counter meds. I no longer needed the hydromorphone, a morphine derivative kind of thing that they gave me on my way out of the hospital. And I couldn't believe it because I was in the midst of taking my morphine pill that day. And I realized, hey, I'm not in actual pain here. That's nice. I won't take this. And I carried it with me like an emergency supply. But I kept getting better and better and better from November 20th, my diagnosis, on the way to my 5 weeks later visit to the specialist who told me, you don't have a choice. You're done. You're toast. We have nothing for you. Take this drug to help you ease on out. That was scary at the time, but in retrospect, I see it was entirely liberating because I didn't have to fight my doctor and say, no, I don't want chemo, or can I do this oil with the chemo? I didn't have to go there. I just decided I get to do whatever I want. They gave me no option. I'm trying this thing. And by the time I got on 5 weeks of this, I was feeling much, much better. I was able to move around, gain back some of my mobility. And when I went to see this doctor, he was expecting me to have at least the same terrible prostate-specific antigen score, the PSA, which was 700 when I was first clocked in. And then 5 weeks later, it was cut nearly in half to 374. This was a big head-scratcher for the fellow at the hospital, and I knew why I was doing better. And so I proceeded to do this without telling him. and went back in January, early January, and got my first shot of this suppressant. I did that for four or five months, and then I said, that's it, no more. I can't take the side effects of this. And it was only a palliative anyway. It continued to get better and better. Had a subsequent relapse later on with, well, it was a bad quality oil, and I wound up crashing so hard. Now I had a 1,200 PSA, and these are terrible numbers. You're only supposed to have at most 4 or 5. And I mean, like, above zero, not 700, not 1,200. And my metastases was so out of control, the fizzing away of the bones as a Tums tablet in a glass of ginger ale, but in slow motion, you lose the cohesion in your bones. They're just fizzing away. And you need to have a reading between 90 and 135 on that sliding scale to be normal. Mine now is. But at that time, I was 13 and change, 1,300. I had to stop that and have it come back down to now your bones aren't fizzing away. And my new doctor, who's much more on board with all of this, although not 100%, said, it's incredible that your CAT scan now looks like all of those holes and the fizzing away of your bones have filled in again. And your CAT scan, it kind of looks like you're a cheetah standing there, the way your bone patterns are like potholes in the road refilled with tar.
Yes.
That's what happened to my skeleton. This is called arresting and reversing metastases. Ask your doctor about arresting and reversing your metastases today. He won't believe it. You'll have to do the research. You know, so that's where we're at. And then I eventually tried to tell people about it a little bit at a time. And I found myself telling people 3-4 hours a time, just like I'm telling you now, single people, one at a time. And of course, this takes up a lot of time. So I decided to reconstitute my broadcaster skills. I used to work at Sirius XM Radio. I had a show there called Conspiracy Queries. We touched on a lot of the same topics as whatreallyhappened.com. And thanks for ever being there in the first place. My hat's off to this organization I'm speaking with right now, because you guys were there for such a long time, really turning over the facts. But I'm grateful for the conspiracy awareness that I have, because without it, I don't think I would have gone down that investigative road. I would have just believed my doctor. I would have gone home and told my wife, get ready to pack things up. Apparently, I've only got a year left. The last 4 or 5 months are going to be awfully painful. And I just threw all that out of the window, did my own thing. Now I have a podcast called Green Crush with Alan Park. We talk about how cannabis can crush cancer. We have all kinds of scientific data that comes in. This isn't a stoner show where you just sit around and get high and do a bong and talk about skateboarding. And I don't have a problem with that. I say go knock yourself out. There's a genre very well represented. This is more about even users of cannabis and lovers and enjoyers of it don't even know how deeply it can so affect you. So we can turn our focus to the lies of the government telling people that there's no proof of this, because I have documentation and evidence that completely belies this fact. And Michael, my problem isn't procuring the information. My problem isn't speaking to the point. My problem is getting anyone in an official capacity to listen to me. That's the problem.
Well, I can understand, why that would be the case. I mean, here in the United States of America, the FDA and these various other government agencies aren't really interested in what's working for the American people. They see themselves as adjuncts, if not advertisers, for the corporate-produced products. And we have seen that same thing dealing with the issues of vaccine safety or dealing with the issues of GMO safety. And we've come to understand that these government agencies are there to serve the corporate interest and not the American people. And I've talked to a lot of people who are using the cannabis oil, which is the non-intoxicating distillate for a wide variety of illnesses. And they're saying, it really does do some very positive things for whatever their ailments are. And when I was put in contact with you, cancer is a very scary thing. And for me, my mother died either of cancer or of the cancer treatment. When she first got cancer, they told her she had 6 months to live, and she hung on for 6 years. And I still don't know whether she died of the cancer or of the chemo and radiation, because that just ripped her up.
Well, you raise a good recently, point, because that's a crazy point, because so many people, we have statistics, so-and-so died of cancer this year. This many thousands of people died from cancer this year. Cancer took this many people this year. We hear it all the time. And each and every one of these individual cases, you don't know. whether it was the alleged the disease itself or the alleged treatment they're in, or the, you know, the combination thereof. Because each time you reset your immune system to purge it all with chemotherapy, it doesn't come back as powerful as it used to be, your immune system. It's a little bit lower, a little bit lower. And sort of course, the danger is you were at your highest peak of it, most likely, when you first succumbed to cancer, before you even realized that, while it was developing quietly, like a villain who sneaks up on you and doesn't even have the balls to call you out. It's a very insidious, creeping disease. And so this is amazing, yes, to me that you say this, because if you really parsed every case and you bothered to do it, of course they don't, you would see much different statistics on treatment versus non-treatment, et cetera. Yeah.
Well, one of the statistics I have is that 25% of all cancers will spontaneously remit. Your body will get rid of them. But the attitude is, we don't know which 25% are going to heal themselves, therefore we're going to treat everybody. And yeah, the conventional accepted, very expensive treatments are very destructive of the body. It's already been established that if you use radiation to kill a tumor, then some years down the road, it's going to come back, and it's going to come back worse.
Yeah. And that's my fear, because I did get a blast of radiation on my second time because it was so beyond any kind of reasonable expectation, and I had got and things had amped up through my lack of having a proper cannabis on my second wave of this. And when I had to go back to the hospital of April 2015, I was in such terrible shape. I was experiencing all kinds of internal blockages. It had just gone out of control. And so they zapped my back, because none of the pain, nothing was helping. And I did take the radiation treatment to shut down the pain. Now, the other side of that story is, my doctor said, this is only going to last you 5 or 7 months. And then it's going to come back, and it's probably going to be worse. And we're going to have to zap you again, and it'll be longer and more painful. And then it'll come back sooner in this ever kind of contracting window of it coming back. This is how you know the immune system keeps taking a kick when this happens. So I didn't like that. Yes. I have to do that. But then again, that was 2.5 years ago. And 6 months ago, I said to him, remember when you told me it was only going to last 5 to 7 months? He said, yeah, I want you to throw out of the window all of the things I said back when you presented to me in April 2015, because you're just, I have no words. You're just doing so well. It's incredible. So I don't have that fear anymore, because I think what happened was it was like a relay race where I had an emergency need for the radiation in my lower back and my sacrum, the bones surrounding the prostate and the whole area, to just completely riddled the cage around there, the hips, the back, the sacrum, the L3-4-5, all of that bone around there. And that's what they fried for 40 minutes, 45 minutes on a directly high heat. It's a ridiculous gray scale. What is it? The grayscale, or whatever they call it. It's like 900, some ridiculously high number. I have to go back and look at that. Anyway, it was only supposed to last five. He said maybe five, definitely five, maybe seven, maybe 9 months. And then you'll have to come back and do it again. And I'm so sorry. There's just no way out of this. Of course, it's been 2.5 years. I don't have any problems with my back whatsoever, because I've been right back onto the regimen. And I go on and off it. I go on and off of it, and I keep maintaining it. And I don't need to take the full crazy dose of 90 days of 60 grams. I just keep pop. I'll do 10 days of a little tiny scoop at night before I go to sleep. It flattens me out for sleep. It makes me feel good. And you can really tell that it's working. And these people that are saying that it's not working, it is funny to me on the one hand, but it's very shocking that they're getting away with it. And Michael, at the end of this, regardless of the country, regardless of the region, whether it's California or some other country, or Ireland or whatever, aside from Portugal and a few other cool places who have decided to get rid of chemical, you know, get rid of any prosecution or anything of this nature, and they're having not a problem at all. What they're having is less people using drugs. They're having fewer drug-related incidents, fewer concerns about overuse of this stuff.
Motive is gone, you know.
Yeah. And it's really crazy to me, because only a few people, relatively speaking, are setting these policies that most of us don't like. It's like three guys are in a room deciding what's going to be, and the other 97 of us are going, well, that sucks. I hate that. It's repressive. Okay, I'll do it. Like, I don't understand.
All right,
Alan. Go ahead.
Alan, we got to take a break here for commercials.
Oh, cool.
We'll be right back.
All right. Thanks.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Extendivite. A seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero? You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha. Welcome back to our show. We're talking with Alan Park. And Alan, I got an email here asking if you're using heirloom-based hemp oil or pharmaceutical GMO medical store-made hemp oil. I didn't even realize there was such a thing as GMO hemp at this stage of the game.
Okay, let me take them. Is that the question? Which one am I using?
Yes.
Okay, so let me just take a quick note onto this before I answer that question. As far as GMO is concerned, people are on both sides of this issue. Some people say it's not a big deal. Other people say it is. I'm not going to argue that point right now, although I'm sure you've dedicated lots of area to that on your website. What I will say is that GMO, whether you like it or hate it, there's apparently a plan in the works. Once now that Bayer Corporation, and they have a nice corporate history, don't they, have reabsorbed or merged with Monsanto, or somebody bought somebody, you're going to have Monsanto and Bayer as some kind of a collective entity. And I don't think it's any kind of a surprise that they are going to be trying to commandeer the supply of cannabis as much and around the world as they do with right now with corn and soy that's been genetically altered. I don't like this. I don't want this. I think in these great secret laboratories of such a cleanliness and sliding steel doors and vaults and airlock pressures and security cards to get in, you don't know. In a building at a pharmaceutical research center that's completely impenetrable, such as the American embassy in Israel or something, I'm sure it's that difficult to protect. And they're in there tinkering with these formulations, and I don't like at all that they could easily breed out of the cannabis plant or breed into the cannabis plant, whatever they want. The best thing you can get is sunshine-grown cannabis plant from tip to the bottom of the root. Tear it out of the ground when it's ready and use the entire plant and make it yourself and get it done that way. That's what I would recommend, because one plant equals 1 pound, give or take a few ounces. And that amount, when you cook it down properly, gets itself down to 60 grams of oil when you do it properly. And 60 grams of oil takes you 3 months, 90 days to ingest, because you can't take a gram a day to begin. You'll be on the moon, whether it exists or not. So you need to take a tiny, tiny dose and gradually build up your tolerance until you're able to take a gram a day. And that's why 60 grams is 90 days. So I recommend you have your sunshine-grown cannabis that hasn't been sprayed and hasn't been taken away by a policeman who thinks he knows what he's doing, and that you use this and process it your own, and that you find out how to do it, and you take responsibility for your own health, and you understand that you are not just bringing your car to the mechanic to get it fixed while you sit in the waiting room with a magazine. You have to actively take part in what's going on with you at every step of the way. If they give you meds, ask them what it's for and how many milligrams. Ask them how many more of these you're going to take. And every time they give you a cup of pills in the hospital, even if it's a nice nurse you always know, you just politely ask her, and what's this one for? And what's this one for? But to get back to the GMO thing, I didn't use GMO. I used, initially, I purchased, illegally off a guy on the street, whom I happen to know, who's a friend of a friend and in a family that I know, a quarter of a pound. Of course, you need an entire pound, but I didn't have the money and I didn't have the space to cook it all up. I took a quarter of a pound of this, and this was a good quality weed that was not GMO, and it was not pesticided. And you have to do your due diligence to find that supply in the face of the fact that it's illegal, in the face of the fact that a lot of your friends and neighbors are going to hold shame for you because they've been taught morals and apply them willy-nilly without reason. And you have to take responsibility for it 100%. That's what I say. So in that, I was not able to get a plant from tip to tail to root growing in the sun, especially up here in Canada. I had to procure it elsewhere. And I did that. And then I told a lot of people about my story here and there, because what originally was a secret, I don't want to tell anybody I have cancer. I don't want to tell anybody I'm using cannabis oil or anything else to get rid of it. I just want to get this behind me. I feel that I'm making progress. And when I'm back to normal, I'll just get my life back and carry on. It didn't work out like that at all. And once this stuff really did start to work, my mindset changed to, I can't keep this a secret. I have to share it. Because what if a guy comes up to me and says, oh, God, I can't believe it. I just got prostate cancer. And I'm going to sit there and keep it a secret, what I know, what got me out of trouble? Now, there was no more choice of this. I had to tell everybody about it. And that's my safety. I mean, I tell everybody I'm doing it. I tell everybody I'm doing it illegally. I'm telling it. I didn't ask for permission. I didn't register with any corporation, even if I wanted to, and I did look into it at the front end of this, it would have taken anywhere from 2 to 3 to 5 to 7 months. Some people have waited over a year in Canada to get accredited. I would have slipped away.
I know how that works. Okay, Alan, we're going to have to take another break for commercials. Okay. Our commercials are spaced out kind of irregularly. We'll be back after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're talking with Alan Park, and Alan has treated his own cancer successfully with cannabis. And what is your current medical condition right now?
My current medical condition, as of May 2015, after I pulled out of the second bout, and I really did think I was going to go down for sure that time, because everything was worse the second time than the first time when it was terrible and guaranteed. So I really thought I was going to slip, but that's May 2015. All of a sudden, I'm starting to do well. I'm on the turnaround at the lowest point back up. And every 3 months, once you become stage four, they don't like to let you go away forever, obviously. So I do and don't mind doing, especially with the Canadian healthcare system. I don't know what this would cost you guys in America. But I go every 3 months. And I do a series of blood tests, a CBC, they call it, and a alkalitic phosphatic acid. We keep track of that very much. This is the acid that becomes more predominant when your bones are changing from either growing strong or fizzing away. It registers an activity. You want that between 90 and 135. Mine is, it's somewhere around 115 the last time. Anyway, they keep taking these blood numbers and these tests every 3 months just to keep an eye on things. And so the idea being that if it spikes again and comes back, that I will still catch it soon enough, even if it happens soon after a visit. You know, in the first 3 months of not noticing it, you'd be able to catch it and get on top of things. And I just keep getting a clean bill of health, a clean bill of health, a clean bill of health. And my doctor, so I've been, how many times? So every 3 months since May 2015, I just keep going back and they tell me nice things and I carry about my business knowing I'm onto something.
Well, that sounds absolutely wonderful. And again, we know that prior to the rise of the big pharmaceutical corporations, that there were a lot of cures that were obtainable in nature. And when I was a kid, I had this first edition of an herbalist book, which I then gave away to a museum. And I regretted doing that because there was a lot of good advice in there. And then somebody found out it had been reprinted and they sent me a copy. So now that's back in my library and nobody's going to get that. But
how
we
old
know
is it?
That pharmaceutical, it's from like 1901.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
Yeah. And there's a lot of really good stuff in there. We know that there have been very powerful cures for a lot of things going back, all the way to ancient times, all the way to Hippocrates. And a lot of cures that involve a dietary change and thing. But the pharmaceutical model is that you're not supposed to be able to treat yourself with anything that you can grow in the garden or buy at the supermarket. You will go to the doctor and get a note. You will go to the pharmacy and you will buy the pill there, even to the point where they're starting to basically take stuff that is found in nature and they change it around so they can put a patent on it and claim market exclusivity. And I think a good example of that would be Valium, which is actually comes from the valerian root. And you can buy valerian root without a prescription at any health food store. But they changed it around a little bit, called it Valium, patented it, and it's now America's most abused tranquilizer. But it's all about making money. And very often the actual health and wellness of the people is not an issue. In fact, the business model requires people to be chronically ill, to constantly require treatment for a wide variety of problems. And because if we all of a sudden got healthy, if we all grew a magic weed in our backyard and all of a sudden all of our illnesses and conditions went away, the entire medical industrial complex would collapse. And go ahead.
That's so true. No, go ahead. I'm just agreeing with you. Yeah.
Yeah, and it really is it's a very sick way of doing business, but again, not about Canada, but certainly here in the United States of America, medical treatment is just a big moneymaker. It's just another racket to pull money out of the people, and it's all about pushing product. And there was a good example that we had some years ago when my wife was dealing with some very serious joint pain, and we went the orthodox medical route, and then she was given pills and creams and all the rest of it, couldn't solve the problem. Finally, we figured it out for ourselves. She was reacting to what are called formaldehyde precursors in low-end household and cosmetic products. And once we got those out of our lives, the joint pains went away.
Sure.
And the doctors never even suggested once there might be something in your household that is causing these issues. It's all about, we're going to give you another prescription. We're going to sell you another thing.
Yeah. Well, that's so true. And listen, I know that people don't believe this. And when I was initially coming out of it and telling people and they didn't believe it, I used to get really angry. I understood that I was being successful, and they're basically calling you a liar at that point. After you've come through some of the worst awarenesses, meditations, fear episodes, challenges, and then an eventual victory, to be treated like a liar and someone who is full of it is kind of disheartening, and I used to get upset. But then after some reflection and awareness, I did realize that when people say, that's all BS, I don't believe that, I am completely compassionate with this point of view, because I know they have been absolutely cluster bombed with disinformation. It's not always easy to parse your way through it. I mean, I might have different ideas about things of clandestine and hidden conspiratorial nature than you do. We might have different ideas on the Kennedy assassination. Who knows? But at the end of the day, this medicine works to the point where I'd like folks listening to write a few things down. I want you to Google this up and understand these facts. We all know about what's going on with real news, fake news. Everybody has an understanding of that. And but go to the real news website that's mainstream, called The Guardian in England. Type in The Guardian, November 4, 2001, cannabis miracle drug. Do that. And when you get to the article that was written and released, when? Just a couple of months after 9/11, when people were really distracted and upset and panicked and freaking out, and they were already sending people into Afghanistan because even though they didn't know it was coming, they knew exactly who did it. And this was all going on in November, late October, November, when the fires under the pile at the WTC weren't even out yet. That's when this article came out. Now, I'm not saying they're directly connected, but I know people, whether they were of a conspiratorial mindset or otherwise mainstream, were very, very busy researching in their own preferred choices of information about 9/11 and what's going to happen and are we going to go to war and blah, blah, blah. And so a lot of people might not have seen this article, but still on the line, still on the Guardian mainstream website. I'll give it to you again. The Guardian, that's a very well-respected, whether you like it or not, paper in England, a publication. The Guardian, November 4, 2001. And I would say download it, because if I keep talking about it, they're going to take it out. It explains in this article that is now 16 years old, thanks, that the time for anecdotal is over. In the article, it explains that for years, these claims, such as I'm making today and other people, these are all anecdotal. These don't mean anything, and this is, you know, this is just woo, and this is just hearsay. Well, there comes a time when there's a certain responsibility of those to accumulate these anecdotal stories, and you realize if there's so many of them that are anecdotal, why is it that so many people around different countries with different levels of cancer, different kinds of cancer, and other maladies? Let's not limit it to cancer. This thing hits like a wide dispersal rate on a lot of different maladies, and I got a reason for that. And I need you to tell me before we're going to go, because I got a promise to give everyone this information. But this stuff works so well that in 2001, the British government had already been running tests and saying, yep, it's really working. This is really great. Then the article goes on to explain how based on, this is a news article, not an opinion piece, by the way, a lot of those are valid, but this is a news article. It goes on to explain how they're going to have to finally relent that based on the evidence that they have already accumulated 16 years ago at this point, that not pursuing the anecdotal stories and not pursuing the research on these tales of German guys, Polish women, everybody around the world is trying this thing and getting the similar results. Now, we're not all sitting in a room making sure we got our story straight. I don't even know these people. You deal with it on your own. You keep getting the same anecdotal story and doffing it off as anecdotal only. Now you're a criminal. Now you're responsible for the repression of helpful information, and I think you might have an agenda at that point. So look at this article, and it explains how in 2001 they decreed it anecdotal no more, that all of the test subjects and the test issuers, such as the doctors and lab assistants, all of them to a man and woman, were blown away with results that were far above what they even had hoped for at the highest possible outcome. And it was much beyond this. This is solid science as of 16 years ago, at least in England. And guess what? There might be some other things from before that. And didn't an article just surface about how a certain means of suppression was revealed originating in 1974? In the early stages of Nixon's drug war, which came on the heels of what? The 60s, with the research put in by Lester Grinspoon in his books about cannabis. Listen, you want to research that guy too. Between him and Dr. Raphael Meshulam, the Israeli doctor, through the 60s and others, by the time 1970, 71 rolled around, we should have already been busting open how great this stuff was. And instead, they took the juncture of a war on drugs and suppressing it. And then the news headlines became about how everybody's getting arrested. And this was a great thing to help also throw some shade, as they say, on these terrible, awful people who were protesting the Vietnam War involvement. So this stuff does.
Yeah, and they were also voting Democrat. That was another reason for the war on drugs, because it was going after the hippies and the black population, and they were Democratic voters. Now, I found the article at The Guardian. I've just linked it to whatreallyhappened.com. Interestingly enough, in the search, a more recent Guardian article came on out saying, well, it's inconclusive that cannabis is so, yeah, they got bought.
They got bought and they got waffled out, but this is the article that came out. If you read that article at any time, and I think you should have it. I read it like almost every week on my show, Green Crush. I read it all the time. Like it's a song you're going to hear over and over again. I take no shame in repeating lots of pieces of information on my show, because there's top 40 songs you hear a million times. and there's what kind of makeup Kylie Jenner's wearing a million times. So I can talk about this a million times, the same old thing. I put a little different spin on it. Here's another article from an organization called cancerresearch.co.uk. This is in England also. And they have a 2009 article that, when you find it, it specifically states that prostate cancer is curable with cannabis. It doesn't say has been shown to. That doesn't show maybe, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't show to be, could possibly be. It categorically states it is. And this is where I get a little bit upset in my own case, because I had this expert in 2013, 4 years after this article came out, about his game, about his gig, about what he does, telling him if he were taking in the research, because you can't just finish your education ever if you're in a field like that. You keep learning. And I don't know how you can 100% say, there's nothing you can do. And then here's a four-year-old article saying, this stuff totally works and here's proof. So I don't know how you reconcile that at night, even with the hundreds of thousands of dollars and the Lexus and the Rolls Royce or whatever. You know, I just don't know how these people manage to carry this stuff off. A lot of the people saying that this stuff doesn't work, it's worse than you think. They know it works. That's why they're keeping it. And I want to take two more minutes. I got 2 minutes. I got to say something. So let me know when I can to close this up, because you're so right about altering the food chain with it.
We have about 4 minutes until the next commercial break, and then about another 4.5 minutes till the end of the show.
Okay, well, forget the end of the show. I'll tell everybody now. Look, just use your common sense and understand something. A long time ago, before, about 80 years ago, so there's some old folks out there listening maybe that might even actually remember this, cannabis was legal and applied, and doctors were using it for a multitude of things. Not only that, but also it was growing in the fields, and hemp, very similar to it, also outlawed. Of course, you wrote the Constitution on it, make clothes out of it, it doesn't deplete the soil, etc. Hemp, very similar to cannabis, is a fantastic thing to take as well, because it has these CBDs in it, just like the these are the cannabidiols that your body needs, because your body has an endocannabinoid system. So let's start at the beginning. You're born, you have an endocannabinoid system, and you also have a system that requires vitamin C and B12 and enzymes and nutritional components. Otherwise, you don't get to keep on going. And you don't have CBDs because it's illegal. Now, 80 years ago, when they were still using hemp to feed what? Our pigs, our chickens, our cows, etc., our sheep, whatever we were eating back then in the way of eggs and meat, these animals were eating hemp as food. And they were getting, therefore, ingesting the CBDs. And then these animals went to slaughter. I'm not advocating meat eater. I'm kind of more of a vegetarian vegan guy. I'm just quoting history. This is fact, not hope. They put together, they've had their whole system of distributing around America. Just let's keep it to America, since that's this audience. So you guys were all eating food that was coming from animals that were eating plants, the hemp plants that were later illegal. But they were eating this stuff. So that was in the food chain. And then you would eat those animals in your ham sandwiches and your bacon and eggs and everything else. And you were getting in, that was one of the nutrients you were taking in from your meats and your milks and cheeses and eggs back then. But then they took it out because it was illegal, right? That all happened really quickly. They rolled it over like a new paradigm. And farmers had to no longer feed their animals this stuff. And they started feeding them corn and soy and things like that, which at that time, although that sucked, compared to cannabis, because they don't have the CBDs, although that was terrible, it's nowhere near as bad as it is now that they're feeding them genetically modified corn and soy and all of that while you're not getting CBDs. So go back in time to the beginning of Prohibition in the late 30s and put a pin in the map and make your little graph, and it'll go right on up the cancer spike. Now, I know we have improved cleanliness, et cetera, here and there, unless you're talking about the, you know, Michigan river systems. But it's pretty good and on top of things hygiene-wise. We have a pretty good handle on things not spreading from horrendous hygiene anymore. But it turns out that thing is such a powerful nutritional component. I'm talking CBDs in the foods. They've legislated it out. They've Monsantoed it out. They've replaced it with something else. I'm sure they're going to do the same thing again with cannabis, if you don't stop them, if you don't get your own supply, if you don't take your rights and say, you don't get to tell me if I have a plant or not. I got a cactus and an aloe vera plant and a basil plant in my house right now. You're telling me I can't have another plant?
That's just ridiculous. But with no CBDs and 80 years of not having that. So in the first generation of a series of all of the U Americans and the Canadians too, not getting CBDs before they were even genetically modified. So you've got your cancer arc going up. And yeah, chemicals and yeah, pollutants in the air, but you're more susceptible to that when your immune system's already softened up and not strong enough because you're not getting one of the major components that it's begging for. And so what I say is this isn't even a you can't let me have a plant in my house issue. You can't let me smoke a joint somewhere without getting hassled by a cop. I'm into a different level now. We need to get this back into the food chain as a supply to go back into the animals that you're going to eat. As much as I like vegetarianism, I know people are going to eat it. This is a fact, not a hope.
Okay, Alan.
So you got to do
Alan,
it.
Alan, got to cut you off for another commercial break. We'll be back with the last segment of our program after these few words.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're finishing up here with Alan Park. And Alan, listeners are already posting a whole slew of stories to whatreallyhappened.com. Let me give you some examples. From The Independent, yeah. Teenage dying of cancer recovers after mother gives him marijuana. Scientists say Darren's story validates we need to do more research into what's going on. This is from March of this year. Yeah. From Lab News, also in Great Britain, cannabis destroys cancer cells. This is from back in 2006. Another article from 2015, I used cannabis oil to cure my cancer. This is a lady, Kelly McHugh, mother and businesswoman in Balito in KwaZulu-Natal. And let's see, Olivia Newton-John, the singer, uses medical cannabis to help with her cancer pain. And finally, we have an article, and this is from 2015.
Yeah.
U.S. government says cannabis cells... cannabis kills cancer cells, and they did tests where they showed cannabis was killing cancer cells in tests on mice and rats. But gee whiz, we should not to let the ordinary people have it because it'll put the cancer industry out of business. And, you know, those alcohol and tobacco industries, they certainly are opposed to anybody having marijuana because, forget about growing your own recreational stuff in the backyard. You go to that store and you spend your money.
That's it. Oh, yeah, we have a brewing scandal up here in Canada. I know everybody thinks Justin Trudeau's the sexiest guy and so fantastic, but that's because you're not using a microscope. He's doing a lot of weird things right now, and there's an investigation going on into he might have been illegally funded. You know, when you run for office, they have these limits. He might have been illegally funded by his good friend, whose name is Stephen Bronfman, into existence, and maybe they overspent, and maybe the election of this particular government is illegal. Wouldn't that be fascinating, though, that Stephen Bronfman, of course, is the heir to the Bronfman family clan. They are the Seagram's alcohol empire, and if you don't know who they are, you need to familiarize yourself with the Untouchables, because when America had the prohibition, it was Canada making the whiskey and sending it down there, and these were rum runners and booze runners. These were illegal people proffering the alcohol business, and they took that under control, and this became a huge empire, and then prohibition was lifted, but they still made a ton of money beyond that. They were up and away at that point, a virtual crime dynasty at the point, now turned into philanthropy. I always love that. Check that word out.
Okay, we got about 1 minute. We got 1 minute left.
So it's funny to me that right now this new restrictive control, if you will, over the marijuana and punitive new legislation they're trying to push through is being created by a guy that is the heir to an alcohol dynasty. So this stuff is always about history. Listen, folks, this stuff works, okay? It doesn't maybe work for everybody 100%, but it's certainly not something to be ignored. As soon as you get a diagnosis, if I were you, I say to protect myself, I would immediately begin this treatment. Because your doctor's going to tell you he wants to do something eventually, and then they will eventually start that thing, and you can give yourself one heck of a fantastic head start with this before you do any kind of conventional treatment. So check
it out. All right, well, Alan, thanks an awful lot. There's the music. We are simply out of time. I'm going to have you back on the show somewhere in the future. If I were to come down with cancer, I would not go the conventional chemotherapy radiation route. I would definitely go this other direction here. And so, Alan, thank you very much for sharing time with us today. That's it our show. Please stay tuned for John Stedmiller. He's got a lot of interesting things to share with you. Please take what you have learned on the show today and share it with everyone you know. And that includes, of course, our guest today and his story, along with Russiagate, Primarygate, Dossiergate. We'll be back tomorrow with the lovely Lady Claire. So aloha, America.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's ANGIOPRIM.com, or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.